Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is Sports to the Max here on a Wednesday night. Mike's away one more day, and we believe he's in tomorrow for Chad between noon and 3. And then he's in on Friday between 3 and 6. So Mike will be around. We got a great show lined up for you tonight. Get you some sports headlines. Mel Antonin joins us. We'll talk a little Major League Baseball here on the final day of the All-Star break, or at least as the All-Star break winds down. And we get ready to start the second half of the Twins. Get going in Houston. Tough three games with the Astros. And then the New York Yankees come to town beginning on Monday night. So big games for the Twins as they come out of the break and try and stay in the mix in the AL West. And first, good night. I caught much of the game from Miami last night. An interest, Miguel Sano had a hit, an RBI. Brandon Kinsler, a perfect inning of relief. Irvin Santana gave up the lone run to the NL on a home run, but the AL ultimately prevailed in that game in Miami. How about this? Roger Federer, the last of the so-called Big Four still standing at Wimbledon, the seven-time champ, moved into his 12th semifinal at the All England Club with a 6-4, 6-2, 7-6 victory over 2016 runner-up Milos Raonic. The defending champ and number one seed Andy Murray eliminated earlier in the day today by 24 seed American Sam Querrey. And then Novak Djokovic retired with a right arm injury. And, of course, Rafael Nadal was bounced out of the tournament. So now the path clear for Roger Federer to win another Grand Slam event. How about that? Federer didn't play in clay, didn't play in the French Open, but certainly a big, big story. Roger Federer, the lone man of the Big Four, still alive. We'll have more headlines as we move through the show here on CCO. Right now, I'm pleased to be joined by Mel Antonin. He's talking a little Major League Baseball here at the All-Star break. He writes for SI.com. He's an analyst for MLB Network Radio, and is a television analyst. And here's a guy who grew up in South Dakota, started out at the Argus Leader, and now is the king of all media in the D.C. area, Mel. That's pretty good.
Oh, thank you. I don't know if I'm the king of media, but we do a lot. And, you know, I remember those Argus Leader days fondly in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Yeah, I still got a lot of friends that work for the Argus. I haven't lived there in 20 years, and there's still some really good writers at the Argus Leader. Stu Whitney now writes a column. He started out in sports. Mick Gary is still in the sports department. There are a lot of good guys at the Argus Leader. It's still a very good paper.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a big story, actually, in Sioux Falls today. The former sports editor, who you may know, John Egan.
Yep.
Died at 86 a couple of days ago in Phoenix. And so I actually talked to Mick Gary today because they were preparing a story on John Egan, who in South Dakota sports journalism was as legendary as they come.
Yeah, and that is great sports town. They continue to get bigger and bigger. And it was all about high school and small college athletics once upon a time, Mel, as you know very well. But they've moved up the ladder in minor league sports. Now they've got a building they call the Denny. They host a Summit League tournament. And now they're going to get a Champions Tour event in Sioux Falls beginning next year.
Yeah, so they've got a great community organizers, and they've got a lot of people putting up money. And it's incredible. You nailed it perfectly with Sioux Falls. Love of sports.
Yeah, and T. Denny Sanford has put a lot of money into facilities around there. Of course, the big building, that's namesake, they nickname it the Denny, T. Denny Sanford Events Center. And then, of course, you've got the Pentagon, and they played some big-time hoops in there. Minnesota goes down there fairly regularly now and plays at the Pentagon. So, yeah, it's a big-time sports town. They follow a lot of Minnesota teams. And the Twins And the Brewers here at the break have to be two of the bigger surprises in the major leagues.
Yeah, I would say the Brewers are the biggest surprise because they're in first place. But right behind them are the Twins, no question about it. And both teams, Steve, are snapshots for what improved defense can do for a team and make them win. I mean, the Twins have a lot of pitching problems, as you know, but the improved defense makes a big difference. And the same thing with the Brewers. The Brewers are short on rotation help. Their rotation might be a little stronger than the Twins overall, but their infield defense is incredible, and they got a young kid in center field just like the Twins do. So in a lot of ways, they're similar teams. But defense, improved defense, has been the trademark for each of those teams.
Now, on the flip side of that, teams having really good years, and it's not a surprise, include the Nats, a team you follow very closely. This is really a good ball club, and then the Dodgers are just going nuts with 61 wins here at the break. But the Nats and the Dodgers, really heads and shoulders above everybody else in the NL.
Yeah, you know, the Dodgers have a better bullpen than the Nats, and Nats' biggest question is their bullpen. They've tried three different closers. They've tried several combinations. And they just don't have a closer, and their bullpen is very weak. It's not just the closer's role. So you know how important starting pitching wins the marathon of the regular season, but it's the bullpens that make you go deep into the postseason. And so the Nats are looking for a closer and one more setup guy at least, I think, before the July 31st trade deadline. And the Dodgers, I mean, it's kind of hard to believe that they were the first team to 60 wins, and then, of course, they got the best record in the National League, I guess in baseball. Yeah, certainly in baseball. And, you know, outside of Clayton Kershaw and Alex Wood at the top of the rotation, their 3, 4, and 5 starters are a little iffy at best. So it's ironic that the best team in the baseball with the best record, the Dodgers, will be looking for pitching once the trade deadline approaches.
Well, getting back to the Nats, though, do they have a lot to give? How stocked are the minor leagues? Could they be able to go out and maybe lure away bullpen help that they so desperately need?
Yeah, their farm system is strong. And, you know, their window is here, but it could be closing. You just don't know. But they have some good young pitchers that could be trade chips. They have some outfielders. They've got a couple of infielders. Yeah, they're pretty loaded. Their farm system is flush. But as you know, the market for relief pitchers, particularly closers, every July is tight. And the fact that Tampa Bay with Alex Colome, Kansas City with Calvin Herrera, and the Twins with Kinsler, you know, those are teams that are in contention. They're probably not going to trade their closers right away unless they fall apart in the next couple of weeks here. So the market for closers are really, really tight. And they get the feeling that the Nationals are really going to have to pay heavily if they want to get a bona fide closer. But, you know, what's more important, pennants or prospects?
You know, and Mel, you've been in DEC for a long time, and it seems as though in this run for the Nationals where they've had good teams and they've had superior starting pitching and now Max Scherzer, that the bullpen's been the Achilles heel, sort of.
Well, they've had a lot of different closers since they came into power, since they became one of the powerhouses in the league. They had Drew Storen. Jonathan Papelbon didn't work out. They had Soriano for a while, and he was good for a while. But yeah, the bullpen, I agree, has been their shakiest spot. Bullpens are usually fluid on all teams, but particularly so with the Nationals.
Some thoughts on the AL here at the break. Houston, 60 wins, 60-29. The Twins get the honor of going to Minute Maid and playing the Astros 3 games coming out of the break. And that'll tell a lot about the Twins if they're going to be able to hang in there. That's a tough draw out of the break. They've just run away out there in the West.
Yeah, I agree. 2 points to that. The Twins have a tough schedule in the first month coming back, having to play the Astros, Yankees, Dodgers, and Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are a good team as well. So the Twins are going to be tested, as you said. Now, you're referring to your question about the Astros. It is amazing how good their offense is. They have speed. They have experience. They have youth like Carlos Correa. They have potential batting champion in Altuve. They got speed. They probably got everything. But what's interesting about the Astros is their starting pitching is in shambles. Dallas Keuchel is hurt with a neck injury. You don't know when he's coming back. Lance McCullers has been their strongest starter, their most consistent starter, but even he's been hurt. And then after that, their rotation is guys like Charlie Morton, Joe Musgrove, Brad Peacock, mm-hmm. Mike Fiers, none of those guys scream playoff domination. So the Astros are going to be in the market. And you talk about a team that's rich in farm prospects, it's the Astros. But they're going to be looking for pitching because they're not even sure how Keuchel's going to do. You got Colin McHugh, too, who really hasn't thrown a pitch all year. They're banking on him to be healthy by August 1st so that he can join the rotation. But, boy, the Astros pitching looks shaky at best.
And here's one. The Twins are probably happy to be getting him at Minute Maid because the Astros are 33-11 on the road this year. 27-18 at home, that's fine. But 33-11 on the road, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. And, Steve, what's weird is the Twins are contending even though they have a losing record at home and a winning record on the road, which is totally bizarre. Cleveland, I think, virtually last I checked, the same way. Yeah. So what are the Twins? 9 or 10 under at home, and they've got an incredible road record.
8 right now. They dropped the final two to the Orioles, and 20-28 at home, 25-15 on the road. Twins have been a ton better on the road this year.
Explain that with the young team. You know, usually teams that have experienced players that are winning the division struggle to be 500 on the road, are thankful to be 500. Here are the Twins with all these young players that are winning on the road. They're defying all odds.
Cleveland won the pennant a year ago in the American League, starting to find themselves a little bit, a lot more than the team they played in the World Series, the Chicago Cubs. More on that in a moment. But, you know, Cleveland is starting to kind of right the ship, playing better ball. They're 3 games under at home, pretty solid on the road. But it wouldn't be a surprise, ultimately, if Cleveland pulled away and won this division easily.
That's a great question, Steve. I'm not sure about that. The Indians' rotation is not the same as it was a year ago. Corey Kluber's come on very strong in the month of June and July, and looks like he's going to be fine. Carlos Carrasco is more than solid at number 2. But you look at the rest of that rotation, Mike Clevenger has pitched pretty well. Trevor Bauer's ERA is 5+. Danny Salazar's got shoulder injuries, and Josh Tomlin isn't pitching very well. So they got 4 question marks in the rotation behind Kluber and Carrasco. So I'm not sure. You know, last year at about this time, it was the Indians who had this 14-game winning streak and just took over the American League Central. Yes, the Indians have a good bullpen. Yes, the Indians have a good defense. The bullpen might be one of the best around. But I think the reason the Twins have a chance to beat them is because the four guys in the back of their rotation are all questions. Certainly they can turn it around, but they haven't done that yet.
So we'll see if the Twins hang in there. Let's get some quick thoughts about the East before we let you go and run out of time. Red Sox have grabbed the lead. The Yanks and the Rays nipping at their heels. The Orioles have to be considered a disappointment so far.
The Orioles have no pitching. The Orioles' rotation has been a huge disappointment. Their defense has been hurt with J.J. Hardy out and Chris Davis out. And all of a sudden, their offense has fallen off the face of the earth. This is a team that's 22-10, but the Orioles' biggest issue is their rotation is so bad it's affecting one of the best bullpens in the league. As far as the team that has a chance to take off, look out for Tampa Bay. The Rays have done an about face this year, Steve. In that, whenever you think of Rays baseball in the past, you think about they have a lot of pitching but no hitting. This year, they're doing it just the opposite. They're winning with a lot of hitting, and their pitching, which is usually strong, has struggled. If Tampa Bay can get their pitching in order and match it with that offense they have, they could take off. The Yankees are sliding a little bit, and the Red Sox are pitching well. That's why they've taken over the division.
All right, Mel, if you can hang on a little bit, I want to come back, talk about the world champ Cubs and what ails them. We'll get into that momentarily. Welcome back. It is Sports to the Max. Major League All-Star break continues. Of course, Twins jump into play on Friday night. They'll be in Houston to take on the Astros, leading the AL West. Twins in second in the AL Central Division. Then they return home with a big series with the Yankees. Aaron Judge comes to town on Monday night. Mel Antonin joins us. South Dakota native, now out in D.C., still covers the major leagues, writes for SI.com, does a bunch of TV and radio stuff out there. Mel, Aaron Judge, home run derby. Miguel Sano made it all the way to the finals, but Judge, he put on quite a show.
Judge put on an unbelievable show. He's an incredible athlete. But Miguel Sano made a name for himself, too, with the way he was hitting those home runs deep, 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 deep. So Miguel Sano is one of the bright young players coming into the game. But Aaron Judge is absolutely unbelievable. How, you know, yes, he can hit. We saw how he can hit, and we've seen how he can hit all season. But the fact that he's armed is such a lethal weapon in right field. He can dive for balls. He can go into the stands for balls. The fact that he's 6'7 and so agile at 282 is really something. He's going to be he's got superstar written all over him. But how could you not be impressed with Miguel Sano and the way he hit the ball? He got tired in the last round. I can tell that.
Yeah, it was a fun night, home run derby on Monday night. All right, Mel, only about a minute. Your thoughts on the Cubs and Joe Maddon managing the NL. I caught his chat with Joe Buck on the telecast. They got to get their pitching figured out.
Yeah, Jake Arrieta is not the same pitcher he was. He's losing fastball velocity. He's not the same. John Lester is up and down. John Lackey has got an 8.10 ERA, and he's 37 or 38 years old. Kyle Hendricks has been hurt. They have no fifth starter. Every guy that they've tried in the fifth starter spot has not worked. Last year, their rotation was gold. Every starter made 29 or 30 starts and pitching to a 3.5 ERA. This year, their starting pitching is shot. I don't see it turning around at all, and their offense is really bad. Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo are hitting at the infield corners, but their batting average are still about 30 points lower. Ben Zobrist is showing his age. Kyle Schwarber is in the minors. Cubs got a list of problems, Steve.
All right. Maybe they can't run. Who knows? Brewers will shock the world and win the NL Central. Hey, Mel, it's been great.
Thanks a million, Steve, for having me. Good to be on CCO.
All right. There he is, Mel Antonin. Grew up in South Dakota, now living in D.C., doing radio, TV, still writing, covering the grand game. We've got a break. We've got all the news at 7. And then we've got a ton of Sports to the Max coming up here on CCO, including an update on the Summer League.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.